Say this with me. Say, Jesus, baptize me afresh with your Holy Ghost and with your fire. Just keep your hands up. Close your eyes. Let's focus on the King this evening. It's an evening service. We're a lot more free here tonight. Just focus on the King of Kings. Just ask Him to baptize you afresh. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, then I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. If you can't pray in the Holy Ghost, then pray in your mother language. Just say, baptize me. Dwip my yere. Baptize me. Kilarabasubon de lorebishabin. Sia mashanda larebere kitelerebishabon. Sia mashanda. Let a mishabon de lorebirebirebirebirebishatanda. Handa kesamenda lerebishabon de loreborborborborebishabon. Nembresitin. Kisamanda. Come on, let's focus on the King of Kings this evening. As we pray, fill us, Lord. Fill us with your fire. Fill us with your spirit. Flip the switch on our hearts to enter in. Help us to enter in. We provide the sacrifice. You provide the fire. Holy Spirit, we are your burning ones. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We praise your name tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, we might not be thousands tonight, but you can lift up the name of Jesus one last time. Sing his praise. Praise Yara. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, say revival.
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 God can use three people to bring revival that can sweep across our nation. How many of you are here tonight that are hungry for God, that are serious about God? Sunday nights are going to do this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You better be ready. You better be excited. You better be expectant. Don't take your seat. Place your hand on your heart. The other hand, if you can, raise it up as a sign of surrender. Come on, just say, Lord, here I am, use me. Baptize me afresh. Fill me with your Holy Ghost. I'm tired of lukewarm Christianity. Set my heart ablaze. Set me on fire. A lukewarm world needs a church on fire. So help me to enter in into revival forever and ever until Jesus comes. Come on now, if that is your prayer, say amen and give him praise. Donkey, that was very good. Thank you, Ben. Excellent. Come on now, while you're standing, give your neighbor a high five. Shake the hand of two or three people. Let's keep our energy up. Keep your faith up tonight. Are you ready to receive the word? Are you ready for church? Oei, yes, Here, help me. Is jy reg? Is jy reg? Ek sê, is jy reg? Are you ready for church? We're going to see a move of God in the city from the evening service to the morning, you'll see. Hallelujah. Come on, we're just getting ready now. Shikararabara, nombrositi, kiamasata, rembresatolorave. Why? Because we have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you have the Holy Spirit, you become unstoppable. You shake off the world. We're going places. Hallelujah. Now give your neighbor a high five. And tell them things are going to get hot in here. Welcome to our first time visitors. We might be different, but we're just on fire and passionate for Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to ask you to make a commitment to the evening services. As the staff, as the leaders, we're going to fill up this place in the evening because God wants to do something different in the evening. We love the morning. The morning is important. There's a whole, God has a plan, a whole structure and a flow for the morning service, but the evenings are going to be revival. Okay, we had an incredible week on Tuesday with Planet Shakers. Thank God for them. Come on, give God a hand for bringing one of the best praise and worship teams in the world to Kimberley. Now, don't tell me Kimberley is a small place or it's an insignificant place. God will bring us the best bands if we are hungry. Amen. God will do the greatest things here in Kimberley. Your geographical location is never a limitation. You can be in the biggest city, in the most prosperous city, in the most populated city, and nothing can happen. But you can be in a small town and you're hungry, there's a few people, and you can see everything change. Amen. Hallelujah. Help me tonight. Say amen. Hello, come on, students. Okay, I know you're writing exams. Amen. If you're writing exams, you're a student or matric, please stand. We want to, I want to pray for you. I've been asked to pray with all the students and all those that are writing exams. So stretch your hands towards the students. Amen. Many of you are writing, praise God, but you're in church. That's what matters. So we do our part, God does His part. It's true. Put your hand on your heart. Father, in Jesus' name, for every student, every scholar, every matriculant here tonight that is writing exams, we thank you for peace in their mind. Holy Spirit, help them to recall what they've studied. Give them insight, hindsight, the spirit of understanding to know the subjects that they can be educated and qualified, so that they can have good marks. So when they go into the exam, no spirit of fear will come upon them, but they will go with faith and boldness. Help them, Father, through the exams. Help them, Father, as they write matrics, as different degrees are being written, as you are busy shaping the future leaders of our nation. Thank you. Give them the wisdom. Give them the knowledge. Give them the understanding. Thank you for peace. The battle belongs to the Lord. We thank you for favor. Even when the markers are marking that they will have favor. But help them to qualify. Help them to pass with good marks. Anoint them in the season to study. Everybody who's still writing and everybody who's still studying, anoint them for the season to become the best persons that you've called them to be. In the name of Jesus. Just receive it by faith. Say, Father, I receive it by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. All the best. Sterkte. You're going to do well. Bump your neighbor, I'm going to do well. Okay. Let's get into the word tonight and then we're going to move. We have two big Sundays, tonight and next Sunday. Next Sunday is going to be off the charts because we're going to be praying for people in the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles, quickly go with me or we'll look on the screen. I want to talk to you tonight about the baptism. Now, baptism, for those of you who don't know, is a Greek word. And it actually means to be immersed, 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 drenched, soaking. It's not a sprinkling. It's not just a drop. It's immersed. That's really what baptism means. If they actually took the Greek word and they translated it, it would have been immersed, drenched. So Jesus speaks a lot about baptism. And I want to talk to us even as a church, as leaders, as staff, as the congregation, youth, students, young adults, senior members. Baptism is the key that starts us, that connects us out of this natural carnal life into life of the Spirit. Okay. God wants you to be a spiritual man and a spiritual woman. But you have to understand God has put certain things into the Scripture for us to hear, to act, and to see change in our lives. So Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to talk about verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. So the author of Hebrews is saying, listen, the basics of Christianity, we can't keep on laying the foundation. We have to build a life. And then he stops and he says, this is the basics. So we have to get the basics right. And he says there, these are the foundations of Christianity. You can read it and I'm not going to go through all of them. The first one is repentance. Where there is repentance, there is revival. If nobody is getting convicted of a sinful life, there's no change. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. We need God's anointing in our life to convict people, not to condemn. If you just take the Bible and you just bring the law, you condemn people. Amen. Nobody changes by the law. We change because of the conviction. When you get to the place where you realize, oh my word, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. If I die in my sin, I go to hell. I have to do something about it. What must I do? I must repent. I must repent. If there's no repentance, we have religion. We have people who just come to church. They come the same, they leave the same. We live just this world. It's like you're trying to put a plaster over somebody's life, but you haven't dealt with the root of the issue. The issue is sin. We have a sin nature. We get it from Adam. Everybody has sinned. It gets transferred from your dad, the seed of your father, Adam. Boom, 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 boom. We are all sinners. But thank God, He never left us in our sinful stage. He sent Jesus. So the first part is repentance. Even as a church, we have to repent of things in our lives. Unconfessed sin. It says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from our dead works and of faith towards God. That's the first foundation. You have to repent from your dead works and put your faith towards God. And the second one is the doctrine of baptisms. Baptisms. Pastor, I thought there was only one baptism. No, there's baptisms. Can you put the scripture up? Hebrews 6. It says, Hebrews 6 verse 2, of the doctrine or teaching of baptisms. Say, tell your neighbor it's plural. There's more than one baptism. Did you know that? It's not only baptism in water. There are more baptisms. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was a Christian. I was saved. I was baptized in water. And then my one friend said, hey, have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost? I said, what are you talking about? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. I just heard about the Holy Spirit. And then my friend helped me, because we were in a bit of a traditional church, but thank God they preached salvation and baptism, but they stopped at water baptism. I didn't know that there was more than one baptism. See, God wants you to become everything He's called you to be, but then you have to follow His way. You can't let your tradition, your culture, or what mommy or daddy says about you. You have to go to the Bible. And the Bible says there's many baptisms, not just one. So first scripture, I want you to know that there's not just one baptism, there's many baptisms. We're going to talk about entering in. The second scripture, 1 John 5 verse 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Son, or the Word. Jesus is the Word of God, or Jesus the Son. And three, the Holy Ghost. What's another word for the three Godhead? What's the word? Shout it out. Shout it out. The Trinity. Amen. The Trinity. They are one, but they are different. The Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son. Now, the Bible says there are three that bear witness in heaven. Witness of who? Of Jesus. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And then there are three, it says, and these three are one. Verse 8, and there are three that bear witness on earth about Jesus. That is the Son of God. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the water. And it is the blood. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. The blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the water. What water is he talking about there? John is talking about the water of baptism. So your water baptism is an important part of your witness in Christ that He lives. In the Old Testament, Israel, when they came out of Egypt, there's a nice picture of salvation. They had to put the blood on the doorposts, which represented the blood of Christ. And then they walked through the Red Sea. The Red Sea opened up. It's a good picture of water baptism. And then there was a cloud and a fiery pillar that led them, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit baptism. It's a type and a shadow. And I want to talk to you tonight about water baptism, and that there is an urgency to baptize people. We must get people baptized. Not rushed without the understanding, but if you are saved, you must be baptized. We have to change the culture. When people get saved, they must get baptized. The more I study the Bible, the more I see people were baptized. Believe and be baptized. Repent and get baptized. There must come an urgency. The Bible says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Romans 6, it says, if we are baptized with Jesus, then surely we will be resurrected with him. But it says, if we are baptized. I don't know what it is. It's like people don't want to get baptized. And I'll tell you what it is. I was sitting with a Christian the other day. Nice person. Lovely. Loves God. Saved. But doesn't want to move in faith. Doesn't want to trust God for big things. It's into charity and into works. Almost like one of these false religions that are very prevalent in our nation. It's flesh. And while he's busy speaking to me, the Holy Spirit tells me he's not baptized. So I ask him. I didn't tell him, no, you're not baptized, eh? I just asked him, because sometimes we get it wrong. And I say, listen, I just want to ask you, sir, have you been baptized? And his eyes go up like this. He says, no, he hasn't been baptized. I said, can I ask you, why haven't you been baptized? And he shared his story why he hadn't been baptized. Praise God, I'm going to be baptizing very soon, even this coming week. Now, I'll tell you what happens. That's why we have this door here. Okay? I'll get to that. In John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you. Bump your neighbor, say, Jesus is speaking to you now. Unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I hope this thing doesn't fall now. He cannot. Can you see me? Big cross. I call myself a Christian. I grew up in a Christian home. I read my Bible. I go to church. But guess what? I can't enter into the kingdom of God. I can't understand. I will never fathom everything God has for me. I can call myself a Christian, but if I'm not born again, if I haven't been baptized, if I'm not operating the way God wants me, I cannot enter in. Let me tell you a good picture there. After they went through the salvation of the blood on the doorposts, they came out of Egypt with water, they were baptized. The cloud of pillar was there, and yet they could not enter the promised land. They could not go into the promised land. They wanted so badly to go into the promised land, but they could not enter because they were still operating in their flesh. God wants you to be a spiritual man and a spiritual woman. Amen. Yes, we live in a natural body. Yes, we have a soul. Yes, we deal with real things like emotions. We deal with tangible things. But you are, the day you are born again and the day you are baptized, you are buried with Christ and then you've been resurrected. So Jesus is teaching a religious man, a person who read the Bible, who knew the Bible very well, a Pharisee, a scribe. He could quote the Bible. Maybe you know some Christians who can quote the Bible, but they're not born again. They're not saved. And he tells him in John chapter 3, he says, listen, I want to tell you. He first says in verse 3, he says, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Then he says it like this, that which is born of flesh is flesh. So I thank God I don't know if I'm English or Afrikaans or what. My surname is Kutsi. I was raised an English person. Okay. Maybe you Xhosa, Zulu, English, Afrikaans. Based on your skin pigmentation, you have a certain culture, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. God made us like that. We have a South African passport. So that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You need a flesh, okay? We're not ghosts floating around. You have to be born of the flesh. You have to have a belly button. You have to have a passport. That's how you come into this earth. You have a flesh, but God, through His wisdom and through the nature of sin of Adam, Adam was a living soul, but Jesus came to give us life and life in abundance. He was a living spirit. So Jesus tells the religious man, the Pharisee, who knew the scriptures, he was all intellectual. He said, you need to do more than just be intellectual. Now, you need to have an intellect. God is for education. We are for education, developing your brain, studying, working, having a career. But God wants you to be a spiritual man and a spiritual woman. And Jesus said, what is born of the flesh is flesh, but what is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit. And the day you repent and acknowledge Jesus Christ, you invite Him into your life, you receive the blood of Jesus that washes your sins, and then you take that next step of baptism under the water, you bury yourself under the waters of baptism, you identify with His death, His burial, and so you identify with His resurrection. And on the 30th of April, 1999, some of you weren't born yet, that's when your pastor got baptized. I still got the certificate. And that's when my life changed. That was the day things started to work now. That's when I really believe that was the day I got born again. Maybe you don't know the date. Maybe you've always been saved since you were young. I know my wife as well. She grew up in a Christian home. She's just always been saved, so she might not have a date. But I wasn't always saved. Maybe you weren't always saved. Maybe you only got saved last year. That's okay. But the difference is what got us saved, what got us in the transition is the baptism. And we have to see as a church, as a city, we have a lot of Christians walking around with this dead corpse on their body, and they've never taken that dead corpse and laid it to rest and buried it so God could raise them up. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but are you baptized? Are the people around you in your home cell baptized? He said you cannot enter in. You can try, but it's like beep, you cannot enter in unless you are born again, born of the Spirit and born of the water. You will not enter into the kingdom of God. You can try, but all you'll be is religious. You can maybe come this way, say, I'm a Christian. No, you haven't been baptized. You haven't repented of your sins. You haven't been born again. You're faking it. You're not real, man. You're religious. And let me tell you something. There are a lot of religious people. I know, I was one. When you talk to me about God, I just deflect myself. I deflect my sins. I just talk about something else. When you're around Christians, we just deflect it. You know, religious people. Listen to this, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist, he came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who has spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way, make straight the path for him. John the Baptist's clothes was made of camel's hair. Okay, it wasn't fancy clothes. It wasn't Armani suits. You wore camel's hair. He had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. He didn't have a diet plan. He didn't have a gym program. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Why? Why did a man who was not very attractive in the natural, was a bit of a wild, crazy man, why did everybody go there? Because I tell you what, he had the fire of God. He was the real deal. He decided to go through the door. He was a man of God. And he started to preach. Since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. So yes, this wild man, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter your education. It doesn't matter how smart you are. What matters, do you carry the fire of God? Listen, they've done a study. It was somewhere between 100 and 200,000 people in that area of Judea and Jerusalem, that whole region. 100,000 people 2,000 years ago flocked to hear this crazy guy in the wilderness. What drew them there? It was the fire and the anointing of God. And he would say, repent. And then what do we do? He would baptize people. He got them saved. Now let me tell you something. Even John saw religious people that wanted to take a shortcut. They didn't want to go through here. They wanted to take a shortcut. Listen to how John speaks to the religious people. Look at this, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, imagine me as a pastor start preaching this to people. I'd make the newspapers. He says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Religion is not a good thing. Religion is, it's really the fake. The true Christianity, like my aunts and uncles and all of them told my mother, said, don't worry, Brian, when I got saved at 19 years of age, I got on fire. Yes, you couldn't keep me from church. I was involved. I was starting to neglect my studies, okay? And I learned a lesson that year. I failed. And so my parents got hold of me and I realized, okay, and God also spoke to me as well, saying, no, you must be on fire, but study. Get your degree. So I learned the bend in the road is not the end of the road. I had to trust God to help me understand these thick textbooks. I realized I have to be on fire in the home cell, but I still got to come home and study. I have a responsibility. Amen. Otherwise, you're a flake. You lose your testimony. Don't just leave everything. The Christian gets saved and all of a sudden he stops going to work. He's stealing his boss's time. That's not in the Bible. It just means you should be more excellent. You should be more on fire. You should be the best employer who shows up early and leaves late. And so my first year, I never had guidance. I never had people to tell me, listen, you must study. I just thought, no, God's going to help me supernaturally. Maybe that's some of you here. You're just going to wing it on faith. No, I realized I had to study the stuff. I said, God, help me. And then I have to read, and it took me to late hours at night. And then I got it. And then there was a momentum. And then God helped me to pass my degree. Hallelujah. And I got my degree. Like, you're going to get your studies. Amen. But you know, you don't have to lose your fire. You don't have to become a zealot. So I got excited and passionate for God. I stayed on fire. And my family told my mom, listen, don't worry. The boy's just going through a phase. We've seen this all too often. They get excited, these Christians. They have this hype. And then tomorrow, don't worry. Next year, you'll see, he won't even be going to church. But the difference is, I literally got baptized. I got saved. I'm still here, praise God, 45 years of age, serving Jesus. Because when you really encounter Jesus, when you really choose to get baptized, when you really are hungry, Father, fill me up with your fire. You will still be serving Jesus, more passionate and on fire all the days of your life, even as a student, even as an engineer, even as a doctor, a businessman, a politician. You can be on fire and still be in the business world. That's what God is doing. But you have to understand, you've got to go through the doorway, who is Jesus and His Word. So John sees these people wanting to take shortcuts. They never really repented. They were just, okay, well, everyone's getting baptized. Let's see, what's the hype? What's the trend? What's the fashion? Okay, let's go to church. Well, that can get you there. That's nothing wrong with that. But when you're here, you want to give your heart to Jesus. You want to be real. Come on, you want to be the OG, the original. You want to be authentic. So we got to do it God's way. Got to be baptized. Amen. You don't want to be like those who have a form of godliness, but they have no power. Amen. Switch from the flesh to the spirit. From reading head knowledge to rhema. Walking in the spirit. That was the example of Jesus. So you can enter through Christ. Baptism is what we call a transition. Moving out of one thing into another. The whole of you moves, not just a part. You don't just baptize only your foot. Your whole body gets baptized. And when you come up, you're a different person. immersed into the water. Baptized, immersed, fully submersed. That's when everything changes. So it starts with coming to a place where say, okay, Lord, here I am. I want to do it your way. I don't want to just do it my way. Okay, this thing now mustn't break now. No, it must break. Okay, there we go. Singular. Jesus paid the way. The curtain tore. And I want to follow Jesus. You've been saved. You came out to the altar call. You've been coming to church. I want to tell you the next step now is you want to go through. You want to have access in. Hallelujah. I can see the kingdom. Wow. I read the Bible. It makes sense. I see why this guy's getting excited on a Sunday. He's not just making a noise. He's not trying to get attention. He's really connecting with the living God. He's really reading the Bible. He's really praising God. This guy's really a convert. Die man is gered. He's born again. He's born again to the bone. Nobody can take it away. I'm not faking it. This is the real deal. You come through one way. Jesus is the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through the Son. Jesus said it like as I said, follow me and I'll make you a disciple. I'll make you a fisher of men. The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance the teachings. So if I'm not baptized, cannot enter. As much as what I want to, I can be positive, I can have faith, I can try and buy my way in through this, but you're not going to enter in. There's one way in, and it's through the new birth, being born again, surrendering, repenting of your sins. And they're not waiting 7 years before you get baptized. If you're not baptized, you must get baptized. We have so many people that come out on the altar. Even on Tuesday night, we saw over 150 people get saved on Sunday night. On Tuesday night at Planet Shakers. We have to get people baptized. Pastor, who can baptize somebody else? Somebody who has been baptized can baptize somebody else who's been baptized. It's not the pastor's job to baptize everybody. It's your job. Anybody who believes. Yeah. So let me tell you something. God wants you to be on fire. When John went out to preach and people got saved, He was a man who carried the fire. Next week we're going to talk about the baptism of fire. Where the fire of God is burning, people will come. We're going to make a fire in CRC, a fire in your home cell. And people are going to come. People are going to come. Do you believe that? Jump to your feet now and say, yes, Lord, people are going to come. Because where the fire of God burns, people will go towards that. John the Baptist, he went out into the desert and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people went to follow. It doesn't matter the place. It doesn't matter the personality of the person. It doesn't matter your education. It doesn't matter your skin color. What matters is, do you carry the fire of God? Have you been baptized? Have you done it Jesus this way? Come on. We want to see people get saved. We want to bring people in through the doorway. Hallelujah. Maybe they're scared. Maybe they're worried. You know, a lot of people, take your seat, thank you. A lot of people, when you talk about baptism, I've seen this in all cultures. Black, white, colored, I've seen it in all cultures. Okay, if you go to church, at the moment you get baptized, you see how some of the family members get very upset. Very upset. I had a friend, he was Afrikaans. And he said, oh, if I get baptized, my grandfather is going to turn in his grave. He's going to be so upset because I turned my back on my culture. I saw it the day I got baptized as well. Even my family, my mom and them, they weren't saved yet. They got upset. Why are you getting baptized? Who come? Why? Sit in all the cultures. Black, white, colored, Asian. Because Satan knows the power. My spiritual mother was a lady called Estelle Kanemeyer. Her son is in the church and their grandkids, they come to church. She was a very traditional lady in a tradition. And then she got saved. Radically saved. And she went to her priest and said, because God really touched this woman. She began to read the Bible about baptism, and she loved it. God was really speaking to her. And God told her that the next step is to get baptized. So she didn't know better. She thought everybody would be excited for her. And she went to the person in her church who was the leader and said, I want to get baptized. You know what happened? This is a true story. She's not here. She's in heaven. She said he looked at her and he spat in her face. He spat in her face out of disgust. Why would you be baptized? And of course, this confused her totally. And she had to go back to the Bible, spend time with the Lord again. You see, because she was in a religious institution, religious. She said, why is it? Later on, God showed her that the devil didn't want her to get baptized. And she said one of the greatest days of her life was the day she got baptized. What happened was she came through the door and everything changed. She was a very spiritual woman. Loved God. I used to go, as a 20-year-old, I used to go to her house and have lunch in the week. She'd make the best sandwiches. Okay, my wife makes better sandwiches, but you see, I wasn't married then. I was a bachelor. She'd make these perfectly cut sandwiches and we'd talk about salvation and baptism, and I talked to her about the Holy Spirit. And she was a big fan of Reinhard Bonnke, who would go to Africa and preach salvation. But I've never forgotten that story, that when she wanted to get baptized, her spiritual leader spat in her face. There's something about what happens in the water, that when you go under the water, something happens. I don't know why. Even Jesus Christ himself. Jesus went to John the Baptist and said, baptize me. And John said, no, you must baptize me. It's like Pastor Art coming here and he gives me the mic. I'm like, no, Pastor Art, you take the mic. You're a better preacher than me. Jesus comes to John the Baptist, says, baptize me. And John says, no. Jesus says, no, you baptize me. Why? So that righteousness can be fulfilled for us. He was saying that there's coming a people, you and me, later on, and we're all going to be baptized. And it's going to be part of your fulfillment of what Jesus speaks about, righteousness. I mean, right standing with God. I can't earn my salvation. I can't impress God. He's already impressed by what Jesus did on the cross. Come on, are you getting this? It's simple stuff. Many of us know it. But I want to tell you, Jesus said in Revelation, he says, let's go back to your first love. Go back to your first works. I'm excited about what you're doing, but come back to your first love. Come back to the first works. Let's be a church that loves baptism. Let's do it out of faith, out of revelation. When we see people get baptized, say, that guy's going to get baptized this week. Throughout the Bible, in the book of Acts, when Pentecost fell, Peter stood up and he began to preach and explain to them the gospel. And their hearts were cut and they felt guilty. Convicted. They said, what must we do? How do we get saved? He said, you must repent. It says it, yeah, the Bible says it like this. Let me go there. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. They said, what must we do? We want to get saved. We want to be a Christian. Pastor, we want to do what you are saying that we must do. Well, he said it like this. Peter replied, he said, repent and be baptized. Come on, say it with me. Say, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for forgiveness of sins. And it says then, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to talk about that next week. The gift of the Holy Ghost. Everything is summed up in that, right? In that sermon there. That was one of the first sermons that was ever preached. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Ghost. Pastor Adwa says his story about how he got saved. His brother was praying for him. His brother got saved first and then invited Pastor Art to come to church. And he rocked up there. It's his story. I'm just repeating it. He had a hangover. Still smelt like the world. Smelt like smoke. Maybe they smoked a bit of marijuana. We know Pastor Art was a radical guy before he was saved. And he sat at the back of the church. And during the altar call, the pastor preached and he gave an opportunity for somebody to get saved. And Pastor raised his hand, he came to the front and he got saved. Hallelujah. And then he went back and then his brother said, no, ask the pastor to pray for you, to get the Holy Ghost. He says he didn't even know what that was. So he says, he goes forward there and he says, my brother said I must get the Holy Ghost. And he got the Holy Ghost. And that's how you see a man on fire. Yeah, there's critics. Yeah, nobody's perfect. But you see, CRC was birthed. The move of God was swept across the nation because somebody didn't just get saved and went back to the seat. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is more. There's more. There's a lot more. There are people in the city. They need to get saved. And then once they're saved, they must get baptized. And once they're baptized, they must get filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to talk about it next week. You need to bring your friends. Bring the people to church next week. So water baptism, Matthew chapter 3. Jesus comes to John the Baptist. He says, you must baptize me. He says, no. He says, baptize me. Why did Jesus get baptized? Did he have to repent? No, he had no sin. It was to fulfill all righteousness. When you are baptized, you've already repented of all your sins. When you go under the water, it's not you washing off your sins. No. The blood washes your sins. We get baptized to fulfill, to finalize, to complete the deal of righteousness. Yeah, but Pastor, what about the guy on the cross? And Jesus said, today you will be with me in heaven. Well, he was literally on the cross. He was dying. He wasn't going to go down and get baptized. And Jesus said, come with me to heaven. But most of us, we have to get baptized. Jesus didn't repent. He had no sin. But he did it to fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill it. It's necessary for us who follow. Yes, we have to get baptized to complete righteousness. We get baptized into the body of Christ. We are justified in Christ by our faith. We're no longer guilty. Baptism is the appropriate way to carry out our righteousness. Water baptism is identification with three things. Jesus' death, Jesus' burial, and hallelujah, Jesus' resurrection. That's how you get born again. I identify, I'm a sinner, I must repent, I confess my sins. I receive Jesus, I receive the forgiveness, I invite Him into my heart. Now the next step, I have to be baptized. This is discipleship. I have to get baptized and identify with Jesus' death, His burial, and His resurrection. Brian Kutcher died on the 30th of April, 1999. That's why when my friends see me today, they can't believe I'm a preacher. They can't believe I'm talking because they knew the old Brian. They don't know the new Brian. This is the upgraded Brian. This is the born-again Brian. Do you understand? I died on the 30th of April, 1999. My dead body is there. I'm already, that's why I live now. I live according to Christ. I came through the door. Hallelujah. Ribrasa tolorabi. We can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. I'm the last guy who should be holding a mic. I was born of the flesh. I was shy. I was a stutterer. I was a sinner. I was religious. I went to church sometimes. And I came this way around, but I left unchanged until God got a hold of me. And I bowed my knee and I said, Lord, I need Jesus. And He came into my heart. See, religion tries to change you on the outside. God comes to your heart. He convicts you. He takes out that heart of stone. He gives you a new stone, a new heart, not a new stone. Okay. So as I close, baptism, we identify three things. Jesus' death, His burial, but His resurrection. So what happens when you get born again? Everything changes. Everything changes. You are heaven bound. When the pastor does the call now, if you die, will you go to heaven? You say, yes, I'll go to heaven because I'm born again. I don't fear death. I believe in God. I believe in heaven. Because I came through the right way. Here it is. I came through the doorway. I'm one with Jesus. If I die today, I'll go to heaven. Because I did what he asked me to do. I repented. I acknowledged. See, religion and all the religions, they don't know if they go to heaven. They hope so. The access into heaven is based on their efforts, their good works. That's why you see most religions, there's only two religions, the religion of doing and the religion of done, which is Christ. All the other, you can put every other religion on the planet, they believe they'll go to heaven because of their good works, charity, their good deeds. That's why some religions, they will blow themselves up as an act of martyrdom so that they'll get access into heaven. But that's not how we get into heaven. You get into heaven because of what Jesus has done. The fact that he paid the price. And we follow him. Did you notice Jesus didn't get baptized as a baby? Jesus didn't get baptized as an infant? And I'm not yet to be controversial or to offend anybody. But you must understand that for you to be baptized, there's certain conditions. You must have heard the gospel. You must have repented of your sins. You must believe the gospel. And then you must be able to serve God now with a clear conscience. Therefore, regardless of what you say, an infant can't fulfill these conditions. It's a way to keep people from not being baptized. Oof. And I'm not yet to be controversial or to fight with you. I was confirmed. Many religions take this part out. But I want to tell you tonight, the truth is you have to be baptized. You have to come through the door. You have to be born again. You need Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait 6 months from salvation to baptism. There must be an urgency. Fully immersed. Fully drenched into Christ. Serving him with a clear conscience. That's what brings the change. That is what's going to bring revival. We don't just want people to just have an experience on a Sunday. We want people to get born again. God touches you. In the coming weeks, we're going to invite some of you who've got a powerful testimony to come up here and you're going to share your testimony. You're not going to talk 10 minutes. We'll cut your mic. Like at the Grammys, when they come and they give a speech and they're going on, they just cut the mic and they play music. Our big ushers will just come and escort you out. Some of you got great testimonies. The Bible says we're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You've stopped testifying. If we were all on fire, we would make a fire. And to fill this building would be quick. But we get shy. John the Baptist was on fire. Jesus explained it like this. If you want to give off light, you must burn. There is no light without heat. We are the burning ones. We are the shining lights that God wants to switch on. That's why part of Pentecost is to switch the light on, to fan the flame again in a church where everybody's bold. I remember that day getting filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll talk about it next week. Man, shame goes away. You become radical. You become a firebrand. You know what a firebrand is? Somebody that God can really use. You're not worried about the opinion of men. What will people say? What can he mean to say? What will my uncle say? What? Who cares what they will say? What does God say? He said, tarry. I said it this morning. Wait in the upper room until you receive power from on high. Don't have a form of godliness and you have no power. Christianity is about power. Tell your neighbor, it's about power. It's about power. Come on. Hallelujah. Band, please come up. We're going to stand. In a moment, we're going to worship. We're going to praise God. And I want you to thank Him. I want you to really ask God to really come and start a new work in your heart. Revival means you were revived. Now we're going to revive you. You were alive and life happens. We get busy. We get in the flesh. We get cold. We backslide. Things of the earth affect our hearts. Dirt comes in our heart and worries and stuff. And when we look again, we're far from where we should be. That's why revival comes. It says, Father, pour out your spirit again. Will you get a song ready for us? That first worship song. When God pours out His Spirit on us, we become alive again. You wake up in the morning. You have a life of purpose. You're not living. You're not a slave to your job. You're not a slave to money. You're not a slave to people. You're now born again. You're on fire. Say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Use me. Everything starts to change again. You operate not in your head, but you come back to this place, your gut, your spirit, your unction. Because you've decided to do it the right way. And there are many, and I say this, there are many in our church. There are many Christians alive today that got saved, that got baptized, that got filled with the Holy Ghost, that did it God's way. They came through the door and they've been on a journey, but they started to wonder. They went into doubt. Life happened. And they've been going around a mountain. They've been doing the same thing over and over. And they cannot enter the promised land. But we're going to see things change. Amen. We're going to see revival come in our city. That's why we have a Sunday night service. That's why on the church's board, our middle name is Revival. Amen. You have a my middle name is Louis. It's my grandfather's name. You might have a middle name. But I want to tell you one thing that we all have. We have one middle name, and that's Revival. Christian Revival Church. You don't have to be ashamed of your name and your identity. Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Band, as we just, let's just spend some time praising. It's still early. And then we're going to close. Hallelujah.
This is the moment where wind meets fire. Come on in. Our hearts are burning for fresh revival. Blow again. This is the moment where wind meets fire. Come on in.
know, God is attracted to fire. He's attracted to people on fire. He says it very clearly in the book of Revelation. He says, I don't like lukewarmness. He likes people hot on fire. If you like coffee, like me, your pastor loves coffee. I don't like a cold coffee. Okay. My wife as well. When I make her coffee in the morning and it gets, I get it to her and it's cold, I know, there's a problem now. I'm going to have to go downstairs because the Bible says he brews. So the brother has to make the coffee. Bible bashing the husband. God is attracted to things on fire. Wherever he is, there is life. Jesus is attracted. Listen to me. You have to get this. Beyond the veil, beyond the natural, beyond the flesh, he is attracted to a people who are passionate and on fire for him. Then he comes. Then his spirit gets poured out. Then healings take place. Then everything changes. God does not operate in a lukewarm or a cold environment. You have to understand that. You have to understand you're now Christians. You're now not babies anymore. You're mature men and women of God. God moves where there is faith, where there's a people who are on fire, who are passionate, who are excited, who sit on the edge of their seat. And it's not hype, it's surrender. Say, here I am, here's my heart, I love you. That's the invasion that God's talking about, the invasion of love. Here I am, Lord, use me, set my heart ablaze. And then you become unstoppable. Then you see how God moves and works. Pastor Henny used to tell us as well, flies don't sit on a hot plate. Life and its problems can't sit on you if you're on fire. Can't sit on you. You fire. The fire of God. It's a beautiful fire. It stirs up in our hearts, changes, breaks fear, guilt, shame, condemnation, breaks the power of sin, liberates. It's pure. You want to stay longer in it. You don't want to leave. It's attractive. That's what God is. He's attracted to a fire. You got to turn up the temperature. Bump your neighbor, say, turn up the temperature. In that home cell. In your walk with God, tell your neighbor, you got to turn up the temperature a bit. It's got to get a bit hotter in the church. It's got to get hotter in that prayer meeting. The fire of God wants to move. God is attracted to the fire. He's not attracted to cold, lukewarm Christianity. That's religion. Religion is cold. It's stiff. It's frozen. We are not the chosen frozen. We are free. Hallelujah. The ice has got to melt. You don't have that Buddha Vos syndrome. You know what the Buddha Vos syndrome is? Is the Vos hugged by the bun. You're not the Buddha Vos in the hot dog. You're free. You're free to be. You can praise the Lord. That's what David did. David was free, man. He was on fire. When you're on fire, you can slay Goliaths. When you're cold and lukewarm, you will run. You'll be paralyzed by fear. There's something different about the people who are on fire. Come on, just raise your hands. Father, in Jesus' name, start a work tonight. Blow like a mighty rushing wind as we get ready for Pentecost this coming week. Move in the home cells. Move in our hearts. We put our lives back on the altar. Father, let your fire fall. Those who are baptized, let them get. Those who are not baptized, we pray for a return to obedience. Use us this week as the church, as the staff, as the leaders, to obey your word and baptize. You said, go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for this. Bless them, empower them, breathe on them like you did on the day of Pentecost. Breathe on our church. Breathe on our church. breathe on every member of our church, young and old, in the name of Jesus. While your heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you can drop your hands now. Just intercede. Christians are praying. You're here tonight. You're not saved. You're not born again. Maybe you were religious. Maybe you were like me. But going to church won't make you a Christian just as much as living in a garage is not going to make you a car. You have to receive something. You have to apply something. You have to acknowledge Jesus. There's nothing passive about Christianity. Everything is action and faith and receiving and obtaining and grabbing hold of like that woman with a blood issue. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Today you've come here tonight. You're not saved, but we want to pray with you. We want to give every person the opportunity that's not saved. Maybe a friend, a family member invited you. I want to pray with you. I want to lead you in a simple prayer that I prayed 20 plus, 25, 26, 7 years ago. If that is you, please, unashamedly, while your heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Just raise your hand. Just say, right now, say, Pastor, please, I need to get saved. Thank you. God bless you. Donkey, donkey, on my right hand side, in the middle, on my left hand side, maybe you need to make a new commitment. You're not sure if you're going to die, where you'd go. Then we want to pray with you. You can leave this place tonight knowing that you are saved. Do it God's way, don't do it man's way. Come to the altar. Jesus died publicly. We're not supposed to serve Jesus in the secret. There's a disease going around. People say, I can serve God in my bedroom. I don't need to. No, that's not scriptural. That's not biblical. What you're ashamed of is not going to work for you. There's no power in that Christianity. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus died publicly. He said it, if you will acknowledge me before man, I will acknowledge you before my heavenly Father. But if you are too scared to acknowledge me before man, then I will be too ashamed to acknowledge you before my heavenly Father. There's something that breaks the power of sin over your life when you stand up and you make a public declaration. And these are the days that men and women are going to stand up boldly and unashamedly. Like on the days of Pentecost when Peter preached. There came authority, there came power. And that's what changed the whole city. People were bold. So I pray tonight, you're standing here today, that the spirit of timidity, the spirit of shyness will go. And you will say, I need Jesus. And I pray for those of you that are saved, that there will come a boldness like never before again, that you will actively, boldly engage about your faith. You will no longer be ashamed of the gospel. And there will come a fire in your life. Your peace will come back to you. You will sleep again. There will come a joy again that nobody can take away. So you wonderful people that are ready to give your hearts, please just slip up your hand. You haven't raised up your hand one last time. Why don't you slip it up boldly? Thank you. Thank you. Why don't you all look at me, please? There are many of you that raised your hand. Even if there's one of you, it doesn't matter, but there's more. Please, we're going to clap for you now. Take your personal belongings. Don't leave it. If a friend brought you here, your friend will come with you. Just come and meet me here at the altar. Just come. Just come. Just come now. Let's cheer them on. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you want to go, I'll come with you. Yes, come on. That's great. Cheer them on.
There is new life. There is healing. Bought by His blood, there is freedom.
Yes, come.
Hold on the one that can save.
Okay, you're going to turn to your neighbor. You're not going to embarrass them. You're not going to manipulate them. Look them in the eye and say, hey, if you want to go, I'll go with you. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. You don't have to be ashamed of Jesus. Turn to your neighbor. Say, if you want to go, I'll come with you. Come, just come. Come on, if you can't stand for God, yeah, how will you stand out there? Come. I still feel there's two of you. Two of you. Come. So please come.
Yes, run to the arms of Jesus. There is new life, there is freedom. Run to the one that can set you.
Come on, let's give them a praise. Let's give Jesus a praise.
Run to the arms of Jesus. life there is freedom. Run to the one that can set you free. Come on, come on, run.
Come on, let's give them a big hand.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you for coming out. Every one of you, you matter to God tonight. I want you to know that. God has a great plan with your life. You're not here by accident. I'm going to ask you to place your hand on your heart and say this with me. Say it loud enough that you can hear your own words. Because it's your prayer. It's not my prayer. I'm just leading you in it. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, this evening, I publicly confess that I need a Savior. And I publicly repent of all my sins and all my shortcomings. Thank you that you forgive me. And I receive your forgiveness right now by faith. I invite you into my heart from this day forward. I believe that you are the Son of God. You came from heaven. You died on a cross. You went to hell. You conquered the grave. And on the third day, the Father resurrected you. I put my faith and my trust in you all the days of my life. From this day forward, I'm a child of God. I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.